and welcome to Inside Ouch. I'm Emma Tracy, and this week I'm bringing you the final one of my interviews from the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, which is a huge arts event which takes over the city of Edinburgh throughout August. But before I get to that, I just want to tell you about a couple of the disabled comedians who've been performing in this year's festival. The BBC New Comedy Award winner 2016 was Jethro Bradley, who has autism. You can hear more from him on the Edinburgh Fringe podcast, the BBC Edinburgh Fringe podcast, and I believe he was on day 11. Also, in exciting news, lost voice guy Lee Ridley, who has cerebral palsy and doesn't speak, he has had a pilot commissioned for Radio 4 comedy, so we'll be very excited to hear how that goes for him as well. Earlier on in August, I went to the flat of Jack Carroll, who is a young comedian with cerebral palsy who came second in Britain's Got Talent in 2014. He's been going from strength to strength since, and he's still only 17. I went to visit him and I met his dad, and we chatted about all the things about letting your 17-year-old go off to the festival and heavy doors in Edinburgh flats and all that kind of thing. And then we got on to the question that we ask all comedians with cerebral palsy: why are there so many of you?
I don't know, but I'm going to have to kill a few of them, just get rid of the competition. But I don't know. I think it gives you an interesting way to view the world. And I think that is, it gives you sort of a helpful perspective on stuff, which is good for comedy. But I really don't know. Maybe because it's easier than a proper job, maybe. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting you say that. Is it easier than a proper job? Is that something you worry about?
I wouldn't say I worry about it, because I can't see myself doing anything else. It's either stand-up comedy or selling The Big Issue. You know, it's got to be somewhere I can sit down for a prolonged period. I would say they suit each other quite well.
Cerebral palsy and comedy.
Yeah, I think so.
You've done a lot. Tell me what you've done so far. So what, are you 17 now?
Yeah, 17, yeah. So I did a series on the BBC with Vic Reeves when I was 11 called Ministry of Curious Stuff. And then by some stroke of luck, I managed to win a Pride of Britain award in 2012 when I was, I don't know how old I was, to be honest. I could probably work that out, but we don't really have time because I am numerically inept. That is the biggest disability that I have. Then I went on to do Britain's Got Talent, and so I've been performing comedy and acting in Trollid and stuff like that. And yeah, it's been absolutely wonderful.
You're making me tired just listening to you. Why did you win a Pride of Britain award?
Good question. I still haven't really quite worked it out. I don't know what it was for. I think there were a lot more worthy people than me there. So, yeah, I don't really know how that happened or why.
Oh, I thought you might have saved an old lady.
No,
like that.
I didn't say, I hadn't done any heroic stuff. They just said, you do comedy, here's an award.
What was Britain's Got Talent like, Jack? Tell me everything.
It was one of the most wonderful things that I've done. I think there's a negative image out there that it's sort of it's manipulative or it's exploitative of child acts or whatever. It could not be further from the truth. I think it's presented a platform for me to build upon, and that's been absolutely fantastic, and I'm very grateful to the show for that, and it was a brilliant experience.
So you've left school this year?
Yeah, June last year.
Were you in a mainstream school?
Yeah, I was, yes, when I bothered to attend. But with television work and that sort of thing, I was able to attend less, which was great because I didn't really get on with the way that education was sort of distributed. It wasn't for me, but I enjoyed certain aspects of it, but it was just a bit sort of bit tiresome at
times. What did you enjoy?
What did I enjoy? The days off. I met some quite good friends in that, and I suppose that's good. But I would definitely always wanted. I knew what I wanted to do in life, and I thought that was holding me back a little bit. So it's nice to be out of there.
Did you get any special adjustments at school? Reasonable adjustments, I should say.
Not as many as I would have liked. I mean, I did ask for some sort of golden throne to be carried round on, but they didn't oblige. I didn't actually. No, I didn't. I was quite. I'm not properly disabled, am I? I've got a bit. Daniel Day-Lewis is a more convincing disabled person than I am.
And why do you say you're not properly disabled? Because you're not in a wheelchair, or fully deaf, or fully blind?
Yeah,
or...
I've got a 50-50 fair weather scam that I'm running at the moment. Like, I am a bit, but not like. Yeah, not in a bad way. I use it to my advantage.
Oh, yeah? What way do you use it to your advantage?
Yeah, I think, well, you get the parking, don't you, and everything.
Perks.
Yeah. It comes with its... It's like being in the Mafia. You can cut in front of the line and everything, and it's lovely.
Would you say you've got the perfect level of disability, then, to kind of get the perks but not have to have all the pain?
Absolutely. I mean, I have some pain, but you've got to, you know... You've got to take that, I think, as a little bit of... Well, you know, it balances itself out in other areas.
What's interesting is you did say you have some pain. I don't think anybody would know that you have pain. Like, any of your super fans.
Or
any of
the
3 million... Or well, the government need to know you've got pain, right?
Yes, that's what I write down all the time and send to them so that they send me more money.
Are there ever jokes about having cerebral palsy or having disability that you suddenly realise before it goes out into the light of day, or you try out in a new show and you realise only disabled people or people with cerebral palsy would actually understand that?
I wouldn't say that's... It's pretty... The disability stuff, I think, is accessible to a lot of people, because I think that the more accepted in society it becomes, the easier it is to talk about this stuff. And I'm not, you know... I don't focus on it to the point of this is the... Because I don't think it enters into my head that often during the day. It's just one of those things. And if you don't know anything different, then you don't know... that's just your way of seeing the world and your way of viewing the world. So I wouldn't say that... there's nothing easily graspable that I talk about in terms of disability.
Because, you know, with my... blind friends, we might make braille jokes.
Yeah.
There are loads of things that I would laugh at with a blind person, but I just wouldn't even bother trying to explain to somebody else. You don't find that?
I don't find that. I think the disability stuff I do is quite... Because I think one of the main responsibilities of a comedian is to be able to explain things in an easily accessible way, and I think you've got to try to do that with all the material, not just the stuff that's based around disability.
What's your favourite disability-related joke or piece of material from your act currently?
Well, I've got a couple of things. I had a guy, which around the time I'd been on the telly for something, I had a guy across from me at the train station, just staring at me, looking me up and down. I thought, does he recognise me? He looked me up and down. He stared me up and down, took in the frame and the orthopaedic shoes, and he looked me up and down for a while. Came up and he went... Do I know you from somewhere? Do you do karate with my son? I was just like, yeah, mate, I'm black belt level. That's probably my favourite piece of disability-related comedy that I do. It is a very easy subject to mine for comedy, I think. But I think you've also got to be careful of not overusing it, because it is so such a funny part of life that I think that overusing it can lead to the same sort of ground being covered, and that's not very interesting.
You said on TV recently that your mum had a nickname for you.
Yes, my mum calls me her little Superman. I was chuffed until I found out she meant Christopher Reeves. It's
so
nice.
Bad.
It's nice, isn't it? It's nice that.
Do you think your thoughts and feelings about disabled people and disability rights... I'm getting all serious now.
Yeah.
Have changed as you've got older? Because you're a little bit political on Twitter, aren't you? You definitely have a political head on you. So have they kind of developed and changed as the years have gone by, especially in the public?
My act isn't overly political. There's little references to things now and again, but I don't talk about the political situation a lot. But I find it easier to sum up the political situation in 140 characters than I do in my act. And I think that's... due to a lack of like nuance within the thing. I just do that to annoy people. I don't really know what's going on. I just go, what's going to entertain me on the train for 2 hours? I think it is important because, you know, I suppose however much we try and play it down, it is you've got to talk about it. I think that's.
So what have you got to talk about?
What have I got to talk about? That's the thing. I don't know particularly. I think we're a lot more progressive now than we ever have been. What with the heightened coverage of the Paralympics, the brilliant coverage of the Paralympics, and I think eventually all this will just sort of we're in a sort of the early stage of this thing emerging, and eventually that all just sort of level out, and you'll go, oh, just disability is just one of those things. That's and that I think is what eventually will happen. I'm sounding like some sort of Nostradamus thing now. I'm making predictions. I'm David Icke, like.
Do you want me to change the subject now?
Yeah,
would that be good?
I mean, yeah, it's getting a bit serious, isn't it? It's getting a bit, yeah.
I don't know many people who use frames. Do you pick it? Did you pick a cool teenage guy sort of frame? I mean, I can't see, so I can't see it. So I don't know what it looks like, but.
Yeah, it's not Pimp My Ride, but it's like, it's basically, yeah, so I've got quite a good, because I think I've got one with swivel wheels and a seat, which is fantastic, because I do actually, contrary to popular belief, I do a lot of walking, so it's nice to. Nice to have a frame that can accommodate that, and I don't get too tired in, which is good.
One more question that I forgot to ask you.
Yeah.
There's a good clip of Big School. Is that the name of the thing?
Yes.
Yes. Called Rap Therapy, right?
Yes.
The guy is one of these therapist-y type guys, and he calls it rapathy, and it's about rapping. And it's just another therapy, isn't it? Were you offered lots of different kinds of therapies when you were younger, or even now, that made rap therapy sketch speak to you?
I never really got along with physio either, so I discarded that at the early stuff. Any attempt that anybody has made to try and help me over the years, I've discarded at the earliest opportunity. But I never really got along with that, but obviously it did help me quite a bit, and I had a selective dorsal rhizotomy when I was 7, which is the reason why I can walk around.
You had
a what? It's a surgery of the spine where they cut out nerve. I was one of the very earliest people to have it, so it's nice that I'm still alive and we know it works. So I've had quite a lot of stuff. Osteopathy is really good. I would advocate that. I've been having that for like 3 or 4 years.
And
that's great. I don't know what it does. It's sort of, it's a bit like voodoo or something. I don't really know how it works, but it seems to work incredibly, miraculously well. And yes, it's basically they redirect stuff in your brain and get oxygen to your brain and make sure your whole body is functioning as a whole. And I don't know where I would be without that today.
What does it do for you then?
It just enables me to move freer, and my balance is better, and I'm more relaxed, and everything's a lot more relaxed. And yeah, it's basically, it allows me to live comfortably, which is you know, terrific. I don't know where I'd be without that thing today.
Jack Carroll, it's been a pleasure. What are you doing after the festival, I meant to ask as well?
What am I doing after the festival? Well, I'm going to rest on the couch for 3 weeks or so.
Yeah.
Just go into some sort of induced coma. And then we'll see. I've got a couple of exciting things on the horizon. And I'm sure you'll all find out about those nearer the time.
The lovely Jack Carroll there. You can see him on Sky One's drama Trolleyed when the next series comes around. He's really doing very, very well for himself. Next week is the return of the Ouch Talk Show. Kate Monaghan is back, now a mum. And Simon Minty is back with a new hip. So we look forward to hearing from them. In the meantime, if you want to send us an email, we're at ouch@bbc.co.uk. Find more podcasts and other disability stuff at bbc.co.uk/news/disability. You can find us on Twitter @BBC Ouch or like us on Facebook. Bye-bye.